So if you're transhuman, you can live for a long time.
Well, he projects that by 20, 30, 50, that'll be happening, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen because he projects it. He also points out the problems in it. He's like, we can't really download your mind into a computer because your brain is situated for, like, your limbs, right?
Yeah.
Have motor capacity. So it wouldn't really work for your brain or your mind to be in a computer because it's not made, it's made for motor functions and having, you know, a body. So he actually says if we're going to do it, you need to make the body somehow live forever. So, but he's saying that, you know, that's a long way away, but I'm skeptical of a lot of the claims of transhumanists.
So transhumanism, Satanism, or whatever, sex magic, Hollywood, DC, it's all kind of tied together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let me ask you something simple, and let's just, I'm going to try to stay focused because we've gotten so many things. Was Hollywood created by accident or on purpose with an agenda? That's the first question.
I think pretty early they knew the camera would have the power to change society on a mass scale. I don't know that each of the five studios was created on purpose, but I do think there was the idea that we can, you know, utilize this amazing technology to, you know, for propaganda purposes, which is what it first was used for.
Who used
like
it?
Like Howard Hughes early on. I mean,
used it for what?
The movie Hell's Angels. That was a propaganda film, like in the 20s.
About so, what?
World War One propaganda. So,
Talk about the Big D?
Big D.
Yeah.
Jesus.
The Big PP? No, Howard Hughes.
I know,
right?
But can I put Leo, that example in there? There is a multimedia conglomerate that is the largest in the world.
Some of the big corporations that own everything.
Based on a mouse.
Oh, okay.
They were created by
Disney.
Yeah.
They were created by a three-letter thing.
So, oh.
Is that 100% correct?
Yes.
I have three books on that.
Yeah, that's true.
That I wrote.
That Disney.
Yeah.
The Big D. Yeah. Was created by, you're telling me by... The CIA?
They were co-opted.
Bill Donovan helped Walt get Florida thing going.
No, you have to start like this. There's a guy named Bill Donovan. So give us a little backstory.
So here. William Donovan is the first guy chosen to be the head of the OSS.
What is the OSS?
That's the predecessor to the CIA.
Okay.
1947.
And what did OSS stand for?
Office of Strategic Services.
Okay. So here's how I'm going to help you guys, because you guys are like talking about like Mike. Biology and expect us all to know. So let's dumb it down. So, hi, Jamie. So there's a before the CIA, something called the OSS. It stood for this. There was a man, blah, blah. Try to do it like that.
There was a guy.
Okay.
His name was William Donovan.
Yes.
Wild Bill.
Yes.
And the government said, you run this intelligence network that will be private and secret, and it won't be in the military anymore. Because prior to that, it was kind of military and did intelligence. Now it will be this secret sort of office of black ops stuff, right? And it will answer to basically nobody. And that was called the OSS in 1942. And then a few years later, 1947.
What was it formed for?
For black ops. For it's the Office of Strategic Services.
Black ops, there's anything that is...
To do covert operations.
Covert operations. Yeah, okay.
But also surveillance, sabotage, all kinds of things, right?
Against... Us.
Ostensibly against the enemies of America, but also to control
us,
the domestic population. Exactly.
Good.
And so...
that fucking gummy's kicking in on you. I'm looking at your eyes. Go ahead.
So
you're gummied. You're not gummied. Good. All right.
So Walt was helped by Bill Donovan to get the land in Florida and to help set all that up. And I think the deal...
How did they get involved with Walt?
I can answer that.
Go ahead.
So the day after Pearl Harbor, you remember that?
Yeah, my father told me he got a call or something. He was 12.
The Walt Disney Studios was commandeered by the United States government to produce propaganda films. So 90% of all of their resources went into creating wartime propaganda films for soldiers and for public.
Early cartoons?
Yeah.
Or films?
Both.
Cartoons, mostly.
Okay. Because I remember that Steamboat Willie time.
This was 1941, so I think Snow White was around 35-ish.
Is that an original Disney idea, or was that a what they call it? Just basic.
What, Snow White?
Yeah, was that a Disney idea, or was that a, what do they call that?
That was one of those fairy
happy birthday. Yeah,
Grimm's fairy tale.
Okay, so yeah. It was a general idea. Okay,
but anyway, so the United States government put Walt in charge of propaganda. So he created films about paying your taxes.
Why did they find Walt? How?
Just because he was so he was so good at animation.
Okay.
And
so he was a young animator, and someone in the government discovered him.
Yeah.
And he was making his rounds.
And they're like, we're taking over this studio, and we're making cartoons about how Donald Duck is going to enlist and how Minnie Mouse saves her bacon grease for munitions, you know. And not a lot of people know that back in those days, not everybody paid their taxes like they do now.
Okay.
And it was actually a cartoon called The New Spirit. With Donald Duck showing you how Donald pays his taxes dutifully. Taxes to beat the axis was their tagline.
Taxes to be what?
Taxes to beat the axis.
What's the axis?
Axis powers like Germany, Japan, and...
Okay, all right.
So you can actually get a whole DVD series called Walt Disney on the Front Lines. And they have all these weird cartoons about the making of a Nazi... oh yeah.
What does that mean?
So there's a cartoon called Making of a Nazi, and it's the life of a Nazi youth, this little kid named Hans, and they show you how that Nazis come and they take Hans away from his mother as soon as possible when he's very young, and they put him in the Hitler Youth and teach him and brainwash him basically how to be a trained killer with no mind.
And who made that movie?
Disney.
Because why?
Because the army commissioned him to do all of these propaganda films.
And it was true.
Yeah.
That's how they did raise the German soldiers, Nazi soldiers.
Yeah. Yeah, that part's true. so yeah, all of these weird old wartime cartoons, look them up on YouTube. They're really interesting. Chicken Little is not about a stupid little chicken. It's actually like a parable about believing propaganda.
Yeah.
The what?
Chicken Little.
No, the what propaganda?
Just believing propaganda, ironically.
Meaning?
Meaning you should believe the propaganda.
About how they use psychology to lead crowds into being harvested, basically. The fox, the sly fox in Chicken Little, uses propaganda and Chicken Little to get all of the chickens to leave their safe coop and into the foxhole so he can eat them.
And so that film is to kind of... prime the human for the same thing.
Well, they're saying this is Hitler techniques.
Oh, that was Hitler. Yeah. Okay, so they said Chicken Little and they used it for Hitler.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's cartoons of Donald Duck reading Mein Kampf.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
So this was to be made to show the evils of Nazi Germany.
Right.
Through cartoons.
Exactly.
But that's not a, is that a bad thing?
Well, it's just pointing out that it's government property.
It's government property. Yeah. Okay.
And then Hitchcock did the same thing. He was filming World War II propaganda for British intelligence, actually.
British intelligence. So this was all these other countries, ours included, to defeat Germany.
At that time,
so it was a good thing.
Yeah, but the propaganda continues on because then you have...
So what you're saying is these independent creative studios were not... Yeah, they were used by the government. Yeah. Okay. So let's stay on Disney for a second.
Okay.
My fucking brain. Today, it's still loaded up. And how? Simple way. Go simple.
Today, Disney is
loaded up. The box is loaded up, meaning the deck is stacked.
Well, we think that Disney is the most sophisticated mind control technology there is.
You too.
And, yeah, and our fans and people who we work with and colleagues.
And I believe that, but how? Explain that to people. You got to talk in that microphone a little bit more. Pull it towards you.
So Walt Disney, not only did he work with the CIA, he also worked with Wernher von Braun and the FBI.
Wernher von Braun was a Nazi?
Yes.
Okay. Filmmaker?
Rocket scientist.
Okay. Go ahead.
Who was brought over with Project Paperclip after World War II to...
That's all the NASA guys.
Yes. Working also with Walt Disney.
Okay. I didn't know that Disney part of it, but go ahead.
Yes. So these films are highly sophisticated mind control propaganda for children that spans over generations now. It's been, what, 5, 6 generations that have grown up on Disney?
Yes.
And it is trusted as some sort of, like, innocent Americana, family value company.
Mm-hmm.
But when you actually dig deeper into what their values are and the creation of the theme parks and things like that, it gets really weird.
You got to go into it. Well, I don't want to get you mad.
I don't want to get you
I never got mad. Will you explain? You know, mad, you told her what I said, right?
You were worried about us talking about...
I already said that. We know why.
Yeah.
You gotta.
I wasn't going to.
You got to walk this line here.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'll never put out anything that will make any of
us. I love everyone. That's why we talk.
I know you do, but dum-dums get a hold of something and misinterpret it.
This is why we tell you these things, because we don't want you to be fooled and fall into pits and hurt yourself. That's why we're here.
I know. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But this is a simple topic. So go into what you just said. Disney is used for one thing, and now, but it's weird. So go ahead.
So, like the theme parks, for example, they have...
Oh, I'm saying the weird, so go
ahead. Right. The theme parks have deals with the Department of Defense, right? So this is 20 years ago that Disney started taking your DNA when you thumbprint in. That was a DOD program from 20 years ago. And part of the reason for that is because at Disney, when you walk into like Epcot, right? Epcot, the big golf ball, that's actually sponsored by Siemens Corporation, which is giant. It's a mega corp, right?
What is Siemens Corporation?
It was a Yahtzee corporation.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's like a big old school, like, you know, World War II era.
What?
Yahtzee.
What's Yahtzee?
Tiny Mustache Man Company.
I don't know what you can say.
Tiny Mustache.
Oh, you mean it was a Nazi corporation?
Yeah.
What was Siemens Corporation?
So okay.
Every
ride, almost every ride in the theme park is sponsored by
like
a military
Monsanto,
industrial corporation.
Hold on, one at a time. Say what? Every ride.
Almost every ride is sponsored by a military industrial corporation.
Meaning they gave them money, or
yes.
It says their symbols on it.
Advertisement and a propaganda and a brainwashing tool to get you. Accepting of these things, like
explain said, one.
Okay,
the Monsanto.
UNESCO does. It's a small world.
Say it again.
UNESCO.
What is UNESCO?
It is a like NGO.
No, it's the United Nations Education Culture Organization, right?
Yes, and so they sponsor. It's a small world,
right? And they are heavily pushing the stabbies.
Okay,
depopulation.
Go slow. How do they sponsor Small World?
Well, each ride is sponsored in the sense that not just money.
When you're saying sponsor, I want to see. I'm thinking there's a big.
There's
thing.
A plaque. Yeah, there's a giant.
Where
plaque.
Is their plaque at?
Okay, so next each time ride you go on a ride at Disney,
I'm going to keep you guys very clear. Okay, where's the? So there is a plaque.
Yeah. Next time you go on a ride at Disney, around the entrance or the exit or whatever, or even inside the actual ride itself. They'll tell you that our sponsor is this, like ExxonMobil does Land of the Dinosaurs.
Chiquita Banana.
Chiquita Banana does this boat ride.
So is it, are they being paid by those companies?
Mm-hmm.
And Disney, but Disney has its own money, so why would it take a sponsor?
Well, because these all work together. It's part of a conglomerate, right? That's that 150, 300 people we're talking about, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So... It has these sponsors, and it's so it has their plaque, and you're saying there's things that affect us on the unconscious level that we don't realize is happening to us.
Yeah, and just...
Give me the specific, the most best ride and the best example.
One, when you go to Epcot and you go to, like, Norway, I think... I was like 10 years when I saw this one. It might not be there still, but it's all about how we need offshore drilling and how oil is so important to the economy. And they have like the oil rigs there in the ride.
In Epcot Center.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't done that one in a while.
Yeah.
But okay. So, but that would make and no sense because they want to try to get rid of fossil fuels, right?
Well, this was many years ago. But well, I did see Land of the Dinosaurs that was sponsored by ExxonMobil right. and saying that's fossil fuels that we need to keep, you know, the lights on.
Well, let's
I'm going to pick a ride and you guys tell me how it's a CIA government out there.
I got a perfect example.
Splash Mountain.
There is Masonic stuff on there. I have a perfect example. You ready? You've heard of Monsanto, right?
Of course.
Biggest evil corporation. So
they're thriving.
They were the first to sponsor Tomorrowland in Disneyland. So you go to Tomorrowland, sponsored by Monsanto, and it's just a big commercial bazaar.
It's a big commercial, yeah.
For you know, your plastic house or your irradiated foods, and they have models of this is going to be your kitchen in the future. So Tomorrowland was an expo. For Monsanto.
That makes sense. So, but they sneakily put it in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Disney makes its money legitimately, but it gets helped by the government. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Fortune 100.
Would you say that every piece of product that comes out of them is a work? Do you know what that means?
It's part of the...
Like a work, wrestling is like a work. Uh-huh. So there's like, if two wrestlers are going to go, they go and they get, you're going to do this, you're going to do something with the chair. And it's, we work it. And then if they go like this in wrestling, it means I'm not working it. It's real. Mm. So is, like, for instance, was Herbie the Love Bug movie made and it was just like, this is a fun, cute movie and that's it? Or was it like to sell like, Monsanto. Like,
to sell bugs?
Yeah, like yeah. What? Like,
well, they know that's going to happen.
Is everything a work or is there anything that just made creatively?
No, I think some things are. Some things are innocuous, yeah.
So you could probably argue that one of the greatest movies I've ever seen called Enemy of the State that is still early, even though it was made 25 years ago, was probably made for a reason.
Well, it's predictive. I mean, it really mm-hmm. called like the Patriot Act style, yeah. Loss of civil liberties, yeah.
And I know when we did that movie, we had the best people from that were consultants.
Right.
Okay. So, Disney. It's going to be hard on us here. I've heard this from many people, but I know you guys go into it. They are basically all the stuff they say is true. They're working with the government.
Yeah. I mean, that's not even occulted. That's just kind of...
That's public.
Yeah, that's public knowledge that they... And also a big part of their agenda is to push magic and get children interested in occult things and magic.
Because...
They're all... I mean, the Magic Kingdom, right? Sorcerer's Apprentice is Mickey Mouse. They're all about magic of Disney.
So I
wrote a book. The first book I wrote was about ceremonial magic and all of this, and Disney was heavily involved in that first book. because I used to think there was a difference between white magic and black magic. I don't think that anymore. But Disney is integral, just like things like Harry Potter, into getting children interested in the metaphysical and the magical way of thinking, which leads to OTO down the road.
OTO?
Yeah. The sex magic you were talking about.
What's OTO mean?
Ordo Templi Orientis.
Oh, okay. So you're basically saying it's a priming.
Mm-hmm. It's a grooming.
Grooming?
Yeah. Grooming kids to be interested in magic and other bad things.
And the world is over-sexualized more than ever. What do you think is going to happen in the next 5 years with that? Just that.
Like, where will sex be in 5 years?
Well, I'm telling you this. I've had a good life. I've lived. I've had some, you know, some times that, you know, you might not approve of as much, but it wasn't nothing bad. It was fun. But this, what people are doing now and talking about and the way it is, I'm like turned off. It's like, I have a girlfriend. It's like, that's rare for me. And I actually like just want to be with her. That's like rare for me. Cause I see all this other stuff and I'm like, that's just like, what's going on? Like, I feel fucking weirded out. So all of the stuff over the last 3 years, I'm like, I kind of did get more into, like, you know, maybe God is real. And like, and I believe it was real. Like I was saying at your talk, because of the evil that I feel and see. So there's got to be an opposite, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just feel that it's just the normalizing of weird shit is happening more and more. Well, and go ahead.
I'm sorry. Weren't always squares.
Like, no, I don't think you're squares at all. I think you're.
We've had our.
No, I know. I think you had some wild times before, right? Probably more than you. Didn't you guys tell me?
No, I was wilder than her.
So, but wait, so you've had, you know, different times and lived your life, right?
I have, yeah.
And then you've also had your own times.
Yeah.
Like one night stands. Can you say you had that? I've had that. You've had that.
I've had that.
Yeah, okay. So then you're not that wild.
Maybe not sexually, but I have been, you know, traveling. I've lived a lot of different lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to live on a school bus and read tarot cards for a living.
Yeah, you were like a hippie.
And now I do this.
But you, but the thing is, what normally I would discredit that. I would call you a crunchy crystal. And it's like, well, you know, I'm not feeling. But now as I look into all this stuff, that's why I try to describe things in the simplest way, because there's a lot of truth to it if you can back it up, simple explanations. And that's why this pod's a little hard, because we went all over the place. I wish I did one at a time, but it's like one thing that leads to another thing. Like, all of that shit actually is real, and I'm just trying to break it down for people in the simplest way. Like, when people say, this girl I worked with one time, great actress, Jay, she said, your vibe is your tribe. And that was like this is brilliant. And so basically, she started me thinking about this, of how who you surround yourself with, that energy is real and jumps, and that is a real thing. Like, energy is an actual tangible thing. Mm-hmm. We all agree on that, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And so that's why when we were talking about this sex magic, you got me thinking of like why certain people are so successful in that sect of a certain religion that we, you know, Scientology, and how some people are so successful. And I'm wondering now, and you just put it together in my head of why it works for
certain
them.
Vibes.
So my question to you is everything in Hollywood placed? Because I was never placed. And I almost think I was successful. Obviously, I definitely was, in spite of it. And I probably hit a certain level because they probably knew I couldn't be co-opted. Would you agree with this statement?
I would agree with that. I think, yeah, things are controlled at a pretty tight level in super high level things.
So if anyone is on a super high level, would you say they're co-opted?
That's just very likely, but I don't know in every case, obviously, but it seems likely.
Some people you can look at and for sure say they're a CIA asset.
Well, that's come out in history of Hollywood in many cases, yeah.
The thing that bums me out is this, because I want to talk to you because I know that you are more, you're more into it than she is, and like, you still love acting and comedy, and you did, but you know, I know what you seem to like this, is that I just did it. People lie and say all these reasons why they do it. Oh, I'm an artist. I did it because I wanted attention. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what I was going to do. I was, you know, I had no idea what talent was. I didn't know anything. I liked to break dance. I liked to rap. And then I did funny voices. And somehow that led me into, I was a mimic. That, you know, pushed me into going out and trying where this all happens. And then from there, I just kind of found my path through trial and error, you know, doing comedy seemed to work and all this stuff. And I did it for attention. And, you know, I have had a lot of amazing things happen in my life. I'm very fortunate. But the more that this is opening up and the more we're seeing this and the more we're hearing about these things that are now leaving the dark corners of the internet and starting to trend on Twitter, it's fucking grossing me out. And it's, you know, I always tell people who are these social justice warriors, you're so angry about causes, but and you're tweeting about them on your iPhone. You know, you're complaining about this, but you're tweeting on a device that was made on the bloody backs of slave labor. And I'm wondering if Hollywood is that, if we're trampling on is it propped up as the underbelly evil? Is it evil? Is it evil?
Do you want to answer?
A lot of it is.
Fuck.
I mean, I don't think the whole thing necessarily is. But, I mean, if it's used for a lot of propaganda, for a lot of, you know.
Propaganda I'm okay with if it's good propaganda. Or, no, propaganda is okay if it's that. if it's like, hey, pay your taxes or something that's not so terrible. But if it's like evil propaganda, yeah. No. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's yeah. I mean, could be for a good purpose. It just means propagating your ideas. Mm-hmm. You have good ideas, right? But if it's to serve, you know, the global elite, if it's to serve, you know, an American imperialist, you know, agenda, for example, like in the Cold War, something like that, like then it becomes more problematic to where Hollywood's not about what you think it is. It's about all these other things.
Yeah, so let's drill down on that. So and again, I'm in Hollywood more than these two, but they've studied it so fucking much that I go to them because I'm fascinated and I believe they can back it up. They can every one of these things they can show me in a bibliography. And that's just rare. Okay, so it's unheard of. You guys are the only two that really can back up anything you say. Whether the source is real of you know, but I also believe that you go with these sources that are also mainstream, some of these. So I did a video on Lil Nas X, okay? I've talked about this too. I also talked about the Met Gala. We're already on the same page. I had a talk with somebody the other day. You know, there's talking about Taylor Swift is, you know, people are leaving unconscious, whatever. That's a great example of what we talked about. So,
right.
And listen, I'm a big Taylor Swift fan. I think she's great, okay? But this is an example of, I hate to say this, how can I say this in the simplest way? There's a lot of smoke saying that on stage, she's practicing witchcraft. And that people are forgetting things in the circle. And then if you ever saw a movie called The Witch, which is an amazing movie, and Black Phillip, there's a lot of similarities. So what's your take here?
Well, in my third book, I do a profile analysis of five pop stars.
Okay.
And what we're talking about with them is the Monarch program.
Yeah.
The CIA Monarch program.
So Monarch program for everybody is basically MK Ultra, dividing you in multiple personalities, so they compartmentalize what they need you to do. Mm-hmm. And the Monarch butterfly is a thing of sex kitten, all this shit. Mm-hmm.
So she would be one of the ones that I feel like have all of the symbolism of being through that Monarch program.
So you're saying, so Taylor Swift comes from a very, I hate using these names, but maybe I just try it. So she comes from what I know, a very nice family. Her dad, I think, was an investment banker or something from Pennsylvania, started in country. It's an easy way to get in there if you can write songs. She was a great songwriter, Nashville, blah, blah, blah. And then popped out of country and became pop, and now is a global phenomenon. You're saying at some point along the way, what happened? Explain that to the basic ears.
Well, these are things that I can't prove.
You cannot prove, but you have a vibe.
But we, like detectives, we look at patterns.
Yes.
And I mean, look what happened to Britney Spears.
Britney, listen.
So she went through the ringer.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more. Britney's not crazy. Mm-hmm. She was right. Driven that way. And you know what? And I got to talk to her, who is Amanda Bynes. Because mm-hmm. when I worked with Amanda, she was 16 years old and she was the most beautiful little flower. And I'm not saying she's not a beautiful flower now, but there's something happened to her. Mm-hmm. And that needs to be talked about if she ever wanted to. So, yeah, she's a definite different person. So, go ahead. I don't know what happened.
So, I talk about Lady Gaga, Katy Perry.
Bring it closer, please. I'm sorry. You
Queen,
can pull it up.
Queen Bee.
Okay.
Okay. Taylor Swift. All of these girls, Miley Cyrus,
mm-hmm.
I think have... probably were candidates in this.
So what does that mean? What does it work? Explain the program. Be really specific.
It is a torture.
I understand.
Withheld love and love bombing and all of these things that are coming
drugging.
Out. Yeah. Drugging.
So you're saying that these women started normal?
Yeah.
Because I can tell you, I used to be on the Warped Tour, and Katy Perry was a Christian singer, very different than she is
right.
now. She had a small little stage.
A lot of these things could also be bloodlines, because that's...
But let's stay focused. That's going to take people on a whole other world. Let's just go simple. So you're playing, you're getting some success. Somebody does what?
Let's take Britney Spears, for example. So she was born into, you know, not a very... wealthy family.
Yes.
Her dad was, you know, shooting possums in the backyard for food and stuff like that.
Right? Yes.
So what could happen is that they could be approached. Like, she was on Star Search and mm-hmm. all these child talent, you know, Mickey Mouse Club.
Mm-hmm.
So they could approach her parents and say, oh, Britney can, you know, be a superstar if you send her to this camp or this...
That's
rehab. Or
very believable so far. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
And so it could be that these stages are Monarch programming centers.
So they take your kid and they say your kid's got a lot of talent.
Mm-hmm.
And
we think they can go far. Like, do you remember that prank that you did, the Child Island?
Yes.
Okay, that was so funny.
That's one of the best.
But... Yeah.
I was probably tapping into something I didn't realize I was tapping into.
How many of the parents said, sure, you can put my kid on an
At least half of them.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, at least half. Which was, we showed the fucked upness of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then you want to go deeper, CBS did a show, a real show.
Oh, wow.
Of Child Island?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
You can look it up.
Wow.
Yes. Yes. So they did a show like that. So you're saying at some point they're getting to say, hey, your kid, like, let's bring him to this camp. And through that, the Monarch program, which I won't get into, but you're saying it could deal with some sort. It's definitely mind control. It's definitely programming. And you're saying it also could be ritualistic abusive.
Exactly. And splitting of the psyche is the number one landmark of that. And so a lot of these girls in their videos... they're two different people or three different people. You mentioned Taylor Swift. One of her videos, she's got six or seven lined up at the end, and they're all different Taylors talking. There's a video that Lady Gaga did called Prelude Pathétique, I think it's called, and it is her artistic expression of what it's like to be in one of these programming centers, where she imagines that the nurses are wearing Dolce & Gabbana and... that mint green is in this season because their hair nets are mint green. And she's being wheeled through it looks like a loony bin, really, of other, and there's other little girls playing piano. And so, yeah, look up Prelude Pathétique, and that is her story of how she went through that.
So, and it's basically what you're saying is these humongous pop stars start normal and then are co-opted and used as tools to to basically.
I put up a clip today from an academic mainline that you, like you were saying a minute ago, mainline academia has even proven this, that her name is Frances Stoner Saunders. She wrote a book about the relationship between the CIA and the front they had called the Congress for Cultural Freedom in the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd recruited like all of these academics, all these pop stars, people like Bertrand Russell, A.J. Ayer, Jackson Pollock, Andy Warhol. Mm-hmm. They were all getting CIA money to promote certain things in the arts, with, and they didn't even know that this was a CIA front. So a lot of times this stuff can be done without direct knowledge, but sometimes it's direct knowledge.
So people are pawns in the game.
Yeah.
So can some of these pop stars be pawns in the game and not realize they are? Okay.
Yeah.
The handler shit's definitely true.
Right.
That Black Mirror episode where the girl was the little mini version of Miley Cyrus.
Miley, yeah.
That's definitely true. Mm-hmm. Have you watched The Idol yet? Mm-mm. You have to watch The Idol because I'm going to do a video about it. It's much deeper than what it is on the thing, but it's basically about who you make a deal with. It's a deep, deep thing. So one of the things I talked about recently, and I just want to see if I'm on the same page with you, is that the Super Bowl is basically one big magic fucking show, right?
Right.
And every year, I don't know when it started because I don't remember. Maybe I'm dumb. I don't remember Michael Jackson in 93 having right. these symbolisms. So I don't know if it just happened in the last 12 years, but there has been a similar fucking D and the red backdrops and all this shit. It's just too much now. So you're saying they and they're culture drivers. Okay. Do they enjoy their life? Do they have 300 million and they can attack, or is it all out of, or are they literally prisoners in their life?
Every documentary I've seen about a girl pop star, they are miserable. I just watched on the plane Selena Gomez documentary. She's crying all the time. She's miserable. She has to take substances to calm down.
Didn't you do a whole Katy Perry study too?
I did a whole Katy Perry study. Yeah. Taylor Swift, her documentary. They're all very sad and kind of lost. And so
sad.
You mentioned the Super Bowl and what they're doing with these mega women. Pop stars is they're trying to incarnate a certain spirit, a certain demon. It's called the Scarlet Woman.
Okay. I'm listening because that's right. I did, though.
And so Aleister Crowley, he said he was going to usher in the Aeon of Horus in 1904. And
oh boy.
This is the eagle-headed, hawk-headed god of Egypt, Horus.
Okay. Yes.
And all of the secret societies, not all of them, but many of them, venerate Egyptian gods and goddesses. Right?
Okay, no, I don't. No one knows what that word means. Venerate. Just use a dumb word.
Worship.
Okay, there you go. Okay. Just keep it simple, guys. Venerate.
Okay. So Crowley was trying to
Crowley.
Crowley. Well, he said Crowley because it rhymes with holy.
Listen, I know him.
You do. and he wanted to usher in the Aeon of Horus, which is defined by ambiguous morality, warfare, and childish behavior.
Say that again. So let's make it that dumbed down statement. Okay. Usher in the anus.
The aeon of horror. The age.
So just please be okay. Dumber. You're too smart. He wanted okay. to usher in the age of Horus, yes. Which is a vibe.
Yeah. Good way to put it.
Okay. He wanted to get this vibe out there, which was
Warfare,
which is happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ambiguous morality.
Totally happening.
And childish behavior.
Yeah.
So basically, it's right now.
Yeah. So it worked.
And why did they want that?
Because they believe that these
loose morals, no accountability, act like a 5-year-old, and fight.
Yeah, and they think that the world operates in cycles. Like, there was the age of Isis, there was the age of Osiris,
mm-hmm.
and we're entering into this Aeon of Horus. And Horus's counterpart, his girlfriend, they call the Scarlet Woman, or Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were doing all these rituals to incarnate this spirit, this vibe, this demon.
They were doing rituals to summon the demon. Let's keep it simple. Okay. Incarnate, again, this is a big word.
But incarnate, that means something because it means getting into another body.
Get possessed.
Yeah. Right, like voodoo.
They're doing a ritual to get these spirits in them. And the Scarlet Woman is what?
Is the counterpart to their god Horus.
Okay. That's his girlfriend.
She's an amalgam.
His side piece.
Yeah.
She's an a mashup.
Yes.
Of Ishtar, of Kali.
And what's the purpose for her to be there?
To lead the world in debauchery and sexuality.
Stay right there.
Okay.
So, but what I said earlier, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
So even though T.S., Twizzle Sizzle, comes off as sweet and pure, there's a underlying of debaucherousness?
One of her personalities.
Okay.
When she's in a different altar, could be programmed to go into these rituals and do certain things that she might not even remember as her core personality.
Is the witch shit true?
Yeah, I gave a whole talk on this just like 3 weeks ago, how we're going to be seeing even more witch core become way more popular.
So when they're doing these shows in these stadiums, see, we talked about
they're
a lot,
high
but
profile
I can
rituals.
To this idiot, I can make this episode one episode of one thing. Okay. So in these stadiums are big conjuring ceremonies.
Exactly.
And see how we did that at some point?
Super Bowl ritual.
I call them high profile rituals, and I actually predicted
rituals.
Yeah, rituals.
That's brilliant. If you said that,
what Katy Perry would be embodying in 2015 Super Bowl? Do you remember when she came out with a flaming dress riding a lion?
Yes.
Okay, so I have a picture in my talk, and that is the exact picture of Inanna of Mesopotamia riding a lion, and one of her symbols is fire.
I'm writing down these thoughts because I have to tell. So. Yes, so that's when I started getting. Did the sharks mean anything or no?
No, I don't think so.
So that's like basically like the message is the broccoli, the vegetable that the kid doesn't want to eat, and the shark is like the, you know, put it in applesauce, right?
Yeah.
Like that's just BS. But the real okay, so these stadiums, whether it's T-Swizzle, Super Bowl, or whatever. Basically are these humongous conjuring ceremonies for energy, for who, for the performer, for the elite, for the programming of us. What?
Yes. Like you remember, what was that? Astro World?
I did a video about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
So,
got to bring it closer. I'm sorry. You're demure.
12.
There you go.
I wrote in my book about high-profile rituals, and I mentioned all of these. Like, Madonna is a big one with her blasphemy.
Yes.
And
God,
being hung up on a cross and things like that. So
yes.
This is a mass ritual setting that sucks energy and directs it where they want it to go.
It's like an antenna. It's a big energy antenna, and then direct the energy of the perception.
The astral world, 100%, I believe, because the way that people died, it was fucking evil.
Right.
So they use this. 200 million people watch the Super Bowl, and then what? Does it come into our minds and affect our beliefs, or does actually physically alter us in a way?
I mean, could be, I guess, in the case of T-Swizzles is, you know, memory loss concerts. I mean, it could be a physical
thing. The biggest thing is I've never seen a bigger tour than her. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Doing 2 and 3 nights in a stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bigger than the Stones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, on this, I have a question. Do you notice how celebrities look one way and then all of a sudden they have a bunch of tattoos? My belief is... that's branding. Do you agree with that?
Branding?
Meaning,
like they're taking on a new brand.
Like, no, like, meaning, like,
Oh, you've been branded.
That's one of ours.
Like that's
yes.
one of ours.
Butterfly yeah. tattoos is one to look for.
Crowley talked about that too. He would mark and stamp his women.
So
with a hot iron.
Yeah, with a hot iron.
Like a cow.
So, yeah. Oof. Like your cow.
Right here.
Yeah.
With his mark of the beast right between their breasts.
Mm-hmm.
So he would let brand them.
Do you remember that happened with Stormy? Remember Stormy Daniels had like a she was branded.
Actually branded.
Yeah.
Who is that?
By who?
Nexium too? They did that too.
She was in the circles, if I recall, this is years ago, but Nexium. Remember Nexium call?
Yeah.
They branded.
But she was in that?
I don't know if she was in that, but she was branded in the same kind of way that they were branded like.
You're saying there's a goal by doing
incarnating Babylon.
Incarnating Babylon.
Yeah.
Okay, so explain what that is and tie it into the movie.
So remember what we were talking about, the gods and goddesses of Mesopotamia and the mystery school plays would be.
Keep it dumb.
Their way of portraying the gods.
Yes.
But also they thought that they were channeling them.
So where was Mesopotamia?
In the Middle East.
So Mesopotamia is this
Iraq and Syria.
Yeah, okay, so that's basically the birth of a lot of this, like, mm-hmm. being able to, like, act out to summon a god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For use of what you want.
Of temporal power over, you know, a civilization, a city, a priestcraft, you know, the priestess, high mm-hmm. priestess, and then the priests, and then the people. So what they believed was that the god owned the city and the priests were the stewards and the people were just servants of that.
Okay. So Babylon, the movie, mm-hmm. which I didn't see that looked amazing. I think people loved it critically, but I don't think it did well in the box office. Explain your belief of this and what that was made for. And then you showed me the landmarks of actually in the movie that are still here. And now I cannot look at Hollywood and Highland with the lighting scheme mm-hmm. and the God of Horus without thinking of you.
Hollywood
every time.
Highland is Enki.
Okay, what's that mean?
Enki was one of the Sumerian gods.
Okay. So Hollywood and Highland is basically a place where... what, Enki lives?
Well, Babylon means gate of the gods.
Okay.
And so they would have a gate with the lions on it in Babylon. It was blue, and it was called the Lion's Gate, or mm-hmm. the Ishtar Gate.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was the crossroads where gods and people met.
Okay.
And they believed that you could become possessed by them. Just like in voodoo, where they believe the Loa come down and mount a person in a ritual and ride them like a rider would ride a horse.
And so the being that is not ethereal, mm-hmm. like, i.e. you and I mm-hmm. and Jay, if we wanted to get more power, mm-hmm. we would do some type of ritual to get this god to come into us so yes. we're more powerful to get something either positive or negative.
And that's where a lot of the performances come in. So the person we talked about before, you know.
Yes.
The queen, she says, I feel something come into me. And then I perform.
Yes.
And I don't remember
yes.
what happened.
The most famous philosopher in history, Plato. Right?
Yes.
Plato has a dialogue called Ion.
Yes.
It's a lesser known dialogue. And in that dialogue, he says that, in my city, we're going to have to ban the people that are into the arts, the actors, the musicians. He says, because they have the ability to call into themselves the daemons or the gods, which then possess them in their arts and in their crafts. So people don't know this, but Plato even talks about this.
Why is that bad, though, if it's for good?
Well, he thought that it was bad because the city would not be run by reason. It would be run by people going wild, and you get too much, you know, you can't have a city run by Jim Morrison's, right? Everybody's going crazy. So it's got to be run by reasoning from Plato's view.
So there are people that I think are possessed, and they have extra abilities. And I thought, are they really talented? And only in the last year do I think they're actually possessed.
Oh, really?
Yes. Is that a right thing mm-hmm. to kind of say?
Yeah.
Okay. So... Babylon was made why?
Well, the Tower of Babel.
The movie.
Oh, the movie. So the creator, we did a really good show yeah. about this actually, said it was a poison pen to the industry and a love letter to the art form, which we love movies as an art form.
Mm-hmm.
because it incorporates all kinds of neat technologies and artistic expressions. You've got the music, you've got the pictures, you've got the storytelling, you've got the acting, and so we love all that part, but which you can use art for good or bad, right? And in Babylon, that movie, the moral of the story is that Hollywood is an industry that will chew you up and spit you out if you let it.
Mm-hmm.
It can just completely destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking of that movie Metropolis.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see that. Have you seen that?
It's been, yeah. No.
Oh, okay.
A thousand years old.
You have to watch it. It's a great work of art. And it encapsulates a lot of the stuff we're talking about. Stratification of society where the workers work underground and the elite enjoy the benefit of that. And there's a scene in there where all of the workers are marching to, they're basically the cogs in the machine of the city.
Yes.
Okay. And they're marching to their workstations and they're going through this mouth of Moloch and it's just crunching them.
That thing
yeah.
that also looked like that was at Astro World.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That picture. Why do they have that in that movie?
Because it eats souls.
But the movie's not about that.
It is about that.
She's talking about Metropolis, not Babylon.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's crazy. That's such a dark message.
It's even weirder because it ties in black magic and Satanism and technology. So
it's a transhumanist movie in the 1920s. It's about the creation of the sex bot.
I have to see it.
He makes the dark sorcerer makes a sex bot and sends him.
Who made it?
Fritz Lang.
Mm-hmm. Okay, don't tell me, because I want to watch it. Is it commissioned or was it made? Meaning, was it like a part of the programming, or did the guy come up with the idea? In your opinion,
He was a German expressionist, so he was probably not. He eventually had to leave Germany because of Tiny Mustache Man.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably would have been working with the studio system at that time in Germany. Do you mean, was it intentionally put out as propaganda?
Yeah.
Ultimately, yeah. I don't know if it was.
It sounds insane because it sounds like it's even still ahead of its time now.
It is, it was right. Way ahead of exactly. Its
time. It has a sort of Gnostic theme of Savior, too. Like, there's a Father God and a Son and a Holy Virgin. And the Holy Virgin becomes a evil sex bot that is sent into the city and destroys the city because of her dancing.
You're telling me too much.
Oh, okay.
I want to watch it.
Okay.
Okay, hold on a second, because I wrote these questions down. So Babylon was made just as a movie. It looked like an amazing, like, movie about the history of Hollywood. But you're saying it was made for other reasons?
I don't think Babylon was made as a way to program anybody. I think it was like she said, a
cautionary tale.
Cautionary tale and a love letter. I mean, it's love letter to the art form, critique of the industry, that kind of thing.
So I have to see the movie. So it's a great movie, right?
Mm-hmm. It is great. I thought it was great. Yeah, really well done. Yeah.
And the public didn't understand it,
right?
No.
Okay.
It does have some esoteric themes to it. You have a descent into the underworld and resurrection and all kinds of things.
Well. That's, I don't want to go off. I'm going to talk about the idol. I want to talk about where we're at. So if you go, just, I get goosebumps right now. So to me, that's why I came to Hollywood, based on those pillars of like the system. People hate gatekeepers, but it's like, if you were accepted into this, I hate to say secret society, but it was supposed to be a fun, cool society, then you were considered talented. And I always felt, my mom said, she always used to read me this book called The Little Prince, and she's like, that's who you think you are. You know, you never want to clean your room. You never want to do anything. You're a little prince. And that's how I felt. I felt I lived below my station in life. I felt like I was a country club kid, even though I grew up in the city. So that's why I always sought out Hollywood. It's like, I need to be exalted. I'm better than just, you know, delivering pizzas, even though there's nothing wrong with that, but I felt like I had more to offer. So Hollywood was that way for me.
Mm-hmm.
and the excitement of right now in this neighborhood, why I'm always drawn to this area. Isn't that fascinating? What does it, why am I always drawn here? Never the west side, never too far. Well, from La Brea to Fairfax, there's if you look, there's one big house, and then there's another big house. And they're huge. Those, I believe, were Charlie Chaplin's guard gate houses. And at the top of the hill above Franklin was one big house. Now it's been torn down, I believe, and there's a lot of other houses. But that all of that was Charlie Chaplin's estate. And the ability to come here, so and the Hollywood sign was Hollywood Land, mm-hmm. and Hollywood Land Realty, and the Holly Brush. But there was also something, it's a whole other pod about ritualistic with the holly berries or something. I do remember this. And so this whole thing, like when you're saying with magic, is in kind of around here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, but Chaplin to me built Hollywood. And he is the man, but I don't know enough about him. But going back to what you're saying is, it was all these big houses were built by set decorators and they were built for nothing. And now they're $100 million mansions. So it's a fascinating thing. What is my point? I've lost it. But my point is this, is that, because I wrote this down, is that these ceremonies that you're saying and these messages that they're putting in the media, I know the simplest way I can break it down is this. Music changed somewhere in the 30s or the 40s with the megahertz. Mm-hmm. That's 100% correct, right? Mm-hmm. And so literally the anatomy of a hit happened because you're kind of being brainwashed. That's correct, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you can write a hit actually scientifically.
Right.
Okay. And so all hidden messages in certain music, that's a real thing, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we're doing this stuff and they do it like your Katy Perry thing is so real because if you look at one of her videos, it literally goes to ancient Egypt or Mesopotamia with the
dark horse.
Yes. It's just so full of it. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's insane. Like, I guess if I never listened to you guys, maybe I wouldn't have thought of it. I'm like, oh, this is just artistic, but it's like completely like that, right? And I'm starting to see this everywhere. This, and this. But people say the symbolism will be the downfall, but they have to do that is because that's the revelation of the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So basically, if I can explain this to everybody listening, so it's like this. I'm going to try to make it as dumb as I can. You're basically saying, in front of me is a strawberry. I'm going to eat this berry. And by saying that I'm going to eat this berry will give the berry its flavor. If I don't say that and I just put the berry in my mouth, it will be bland. Is that kind of what it the same thing is? By giving it, you're actually activating the process by saying you're going to do it. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, so revelation,
lighting the match, if you will.
Revelation of the method is the idea that you can prepare people for what you want to do down the road by seeding it in fiction as a form of propaganda.
But you have to do that, correct?
Mm-hmm.
In order to make it work.
Yeah, to steer it in the direction and to basically to initiate the masses into your cult that you want to control.
But you have to actually do it to get this science of it to work, correct?
Right.
So vampires, like they say, you have to be invited in, even though it's supposed to be a parable. They cannot do anything unless you do it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally believe vampires exist. Are we all on the same page with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like Lost Boys level or like Bella level?
Are you making a joke?
No.
Okay.
You said not to make jokes. So.
I'm going to make it deeper. I'm going to go deeper with you.
Okay.
Very big director, legend. I had dinner with. Directed a major legendary thing, and he passed away. And it's not who you think it is for the people in the comments. And he had told me, and he looked at me deep in my eyes, and this was in the late 90s. And he said, you could go to Switzerland, which now I've been hearing a lot of smoke about Switzerland, and that all the stuff that we're talking about now, he told me something in similar 25 years ago that there's a serum from aborted fetuses that they get together and they repurposed it. And you can take this serum, and it was like the placenta, and inject it. And there was a term for it. It wasn't what people are thinking about. This was an actual medical procedure.
Yeah.
And he said that's why people in Switzerland look 30 years younger. Hmm. And he said that's vampirism. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started believing in vampires. So it like the placenta and like the have you ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. Okay. I know we covered a lot. What are you going to say?
Well, a lot of acting. You were talking about Empire of Their Own, how they kind of lay the foundation for Hollywood.
Yes.
But apart from being what they were also Freemasons.
The people that started Hollywood?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that for a fact?
Mm-hmm.
Carl Emley.
The five big ones.
Carl Emley.
Mm-hmm.
The Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't they Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
Can Freemasons and Jews be, are they two separate entities?
Not necessarily, no.
They can be.
Can Catholics be Freemasons?
They're not supposed to, but they do.
Are Freemasons a Jewish thing or a mold?
No.
Not exclusively, no.
Okay.
So part of their rituals is what they call self-transformative psychodrama, where you go through a play and you're initiated into the higher levels. So if you're going for the third degree of Freemasonry, you're going to be playing the part of the character called Hiram Abiff, who was a master mason. And a lot of their foundations are based on this guy, Hiram Abiff. And the third degree is his death, burial, and resurrection. So you are blindfolded and they knock you over the head lightly. They don't hurt you, but they kill you and they bury you in the chairs and it's called the rubbish pile. And then they take you out and they resurrect you with the grip of the lion's paw and you take your blindfold off and you see the pentagram and you are illumined now. And so what they believe is if you want to become something, like you said, a vampire, and the creator of the Church of Satan talks about this too. He says, if you want to be a vampire, you have to live like one. So, you know, don't go out in the daytime, drink blood, sleep in a coffin, wear black, like do everything that a vampire would do, and eventually you will become what you are portraying.
And
what?
I don't know how to answer that.
Well, I mean, that's how you could get vampires, is just have people trying to become vampires.
Fake it till you make it.
Exactly. Make it. Yeah.
You just made me think of something. Ishtar the movie.
Uh-huh.
Babylon the movie.
Uh-huh.
It feels like all the things as you're bringing this stuff up, basically they've all been made, but they weren't made just by a whim.
Oh, no.
That movie Ishtar with Dustin Hoffman was probably made on purpose.
I haven't seen it. I haven't. Ishtar, a movie?
It was 1980.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got to watch that one. Interesting.
Okay, so everything is being exposed, right? What do you think is going to happen?
As a result of the things being exposed or in the next 5 years?
I mean, dude, you're talking to me. I do a joke like I did at your show. Like the reason why this is so crazy is because I'm talking about it. Okay. Now you don't know anything about me, but my father was a big UFO guy. So I knew about David Icke probably before most people. He had his books. Now, whether my father imbued it in me or whether he was part of a lineage, I have no idea. But he was into this shit way before. And everyone thinks he's nuts, right? Of course, everything that he says is coming true. Did I sit there and deal with it all day? No. But I find myself following in his footsteps subliminally. And so I am more into finding out the truth. Me. Like, I do rap movies. I break dance movies. I do fucking comedy. You like my pranks. That was all made for entertainment purposes and escapism and like to feed my narcissistic like attention seeking. That's it. That's all I did. I was like, ooh, people are paying me money to do this and I love it. And I do comedy for that reason. But now I'm drawn to this. What the fuck is really going on? Like, it's more important to me than any movie and all this other bullshit. It's all bullshit. So if I'm like that, this shit is going to go everywhere. So do you think that basically people are pulling away from Hollywood? And do you think Hollywood's going to have, like, this big ass, like, undoing, in your opinion?
Aren't those movies that are becoming successful showing that, right? Like we talked about the beginning, right?
Well, I think that The Sound of Freedom is going to be a huge moment in, because I don't know if the algorithm's feeding me, but I feel like it's, we have like 4 minutes. It's the most important topic. It's the most important topic we should talk about in the world. You know, the abuse of people and children, you know. And yet it's being not only ignored, it's being maligned, but yet it's being completely consumed. People are going into AMC and saying they're saying the movie theater's broken. It's insane. So to me, this is like we're right now. We're at this fucking huge Babylonian, whatever you want to say, Katy Perry moment of like
spiritual warfare.
Yeah, we're literally like in it because it's like I'm like fuck you. Like I will go down to AMC and open the doors myself. And it's like how the so. And I feel like a lot of people that are normal people that work at a Subway are like, this is fucked up. So you tell me, are we at a pinnacle?
Like a tipping point
towards
truth.
Tipping point where Alex Jones is CNN.
Unbelievable. And oh, my God.
The global. Let's have a quick cough. The global is, ladies and gentlemen.
Folks, this is not the real Alex Jones.
Wait, okay. Wait, let me do one. This is an emergency broadcast. All right. Nice. It's kind of, all right. So, like, where he is now considered mainstream media, where you are considered, you know, a babe, like, and you're considered, like, informative and not, like, spiritualistic. Like, are we at a tipping point? Mm-hmm. I believe so. What do you believe?
Well,
we have, like, 3 minutes.
Wait till people realize that all of this immigration stuff has to do with the
Jesus Christ. What you do again? You're going to get yourself canceled. Say it in a way. The immigration thing has to do with what?
TREF.
Oh.
Oh. Trafficking?
Yeah. A lot of what's going on in the news might have to do with trafficking.
Meaning immigrants are being trafficked? Mm-hmm. Also, the chaos in France was almost felt like they open up the borders to let people go crazy to cause chaos.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
He's doing a book. What's it called?
It's about the Fabian Society and their plan to do that. So basically, there's a book about what you just said.
Destabilizing things.
Yeah. Cause chaos.
Yeah, cause chaos.
Yeah.
So then you can... You know, problem, reaction, solution.
What did Klaus say, right? Yeah. Klaus said, there's going to be a much angrier world.
Yes. That's it. That's your best impression you did so far. I'm not saying you can't do other ones, but. All right, listen. You guys are fascinating. I think I learned a lesson. I think I got a one-on-one. I'm a good one-on-one guy. I hope you guys. Did you guys have an okay time?
That was a blast, yeah.
These guys are incredible. Like. They're fascinating. I know this episode is one of the wildest ones I've done yet, meaning because it's so information dense. And Jay's a little better, but they're both, kind of dumbing something down. But you also use a ton of big terms. Jamie uses so many big terms. It's harder for her to. I don't mean better. I mean he's better at dumbing it down. But you're so good at it.
There's more retard in me.
Can't say that. There's more special.
Slow boy.
There's more slow boy in me.
Oh, that's a good term.
That's our term. That's
slow boy.
Yes.
So I'm probably going to have you back one-on-one. We're going to probably tackle a subject at a time, like two subjects, because each of these subjects deserve 5 hours. Follow them. Say your Grammy.
JasonAlsos.com. Jay Dyer on YouTube. All the other outlets, Twitter and so forth. And... Fourth Hour of Lord Voldemort every Friday.
Jamie Hanshaw on YouTube. The show's called Out of This World, and on Rockfin also. You can find me there.
That's crazy that she has to go to Rockfin.
Because I say all the bad words, and so when on Rockfin, I can say whatever I want to, and that show gets crazy.
Yeah. I'm on Rockfin too, by the way. Yeah. Okay.
And listen, guys, you know, I've really enjoyed doing the show. I would like to do another one.
It'll be fun.
And these guys say a lot of things. They're beautiful people. They're completely investigative people. There's no hate in their heart. They're married. They are monogamous to each other, although they've had wild pasts.
I did.
They wear their own main clothes made out of orange peels. And basically, the Sumerians are here. So, in a nutshell, they're fascinating. If I like them, you're going to like them. We just have to make it so it's easy to interpret, because it took me some time, too. And it's just, but basically, what you guys have told me in this episode, that pretty much everything is a fucking work to fucking brainwash us, to control us. And everything that is being talked about in conspiracy is pretty true.
It's a good way to put it.
Guys, I love you. The pod is growing. Something happened with YouTube. I broke through. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're loosening up because they know we're all going to leave. Like, subscribe, go to their stuff. Comedy, cons, conspiracy. Peace. Devil water.